turn to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. We are going to look at a wife for Isaac. This is part one. We'll finish that, Lord willing, next week. But it's part of the story of Abraham's life and how God has worked in that. So, Genesis 24, I'll read verses 1 through 27. And then we will ask God to help and we'll look at the text. Now, Abraham was old, advanced in age. And the Lord blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. But you will go to my country, to my relatives, and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my birth, who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from my oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. He set out with his variety of good things of his master's in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nair. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. And show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring. The daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have sworn loving kindness to my master. I'm actually going to stop there. We'll pick the rest up as we continue through the story. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are grateful, so thankful to know you. Thank you that you have sent your son Jesus Christ to die for sinners, to die for those who are in great need. That's us. Thank you for that. Thank you that he not only died, but he rose again in triumph on the third day. Thank you for his uniqueness, for the beautiful heart that he has toward sinners. Thank you that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through faith. Father, we come before you today. You know the hearts of your people. They're before you right now. You know the challenges that have been ours in this past week, this past month, this radiant all the way through our lives. You know everything about us. Before we speak a word, you know it all together. And Father, in knowing all of that, you know our need, and it is great. We get so distracted with life, with possessions, with projects. There's just so many things before us that can distract us. We get caught up in our own selves. Father, I pray for these moments we can look to you. I pray your Spirit would move powerfully, that you would minister to your people. They're needy. I'm needy. We need to hear from you today. Father, I pray your grace and blessing on these moments. May your Spirit lead me and the listener. I pray as I speak, you will help me, the listener and myself both, as we respond to you. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've come a long way in the life of this man, Abraham, and this account is it ties right into the promise of God to him and to his story. So, I just want to remind you today that a recurring theme that we have seen throughout his life in the Bible is that God desires, his desires will be carried out in his people. He will see to that. When he makes a promise, when God makes a promise, we can be sure that it will occur. The fact that he is sovereign over every event is clearly seen throughout human history in the pages of the Scripture. It's like he's putting the chess pieces of our lives together for his glory. Well, the question today would be, what does God want here in this story? What's his desire? Well, he's promised the seed. You'll remember that. Abraham, matter of fact, speaks to that in this 24th verse, in our 24th chapter, in verse 7. He says, to your descendants, he's quoting what God had told him, I will give you this land. So there's seed, there's descendants that must come. He's promised that to Abraham. The ultimate seed, of course, is his son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We celebrate that here in a few weeks. So the promise of this seed was through Abraham, not only through Abraham, but it must be through Isaac as well. It's coming through this son of promise. If you would look at Matthew's genealogy of the Messiah, it begins with Abraham there. And it flows through. You see Isaac and so forth. But what needs to happen is Isaac needs to have a wife. God's promise is of seed, is of Messiah, and it will flow through Abraham, Isaac. And if it's going to come through Isaac, he needs a wife. It's as simple as that. So the promise of this seed moves through Isaac. And for God to fulfill this, he must then provide a wife. The Apostle Paul speaks about, we're a little off here, but hopefully this isn't the way it is. Okay. The Apostle Paul speaks about this seed. Promises are spoken to Abraham, to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds. The point here is that the Apostle Paul is looking way back, and he's saying this promise is moving through Abraham, Isaac, and it's to a Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what's before us. We need to remember this morning that God guides. Where he guides, he provides. He provides for his servants, his faithful servants. He does this because he's lovingly kind. You'll see this in this 24th chapter. There's just a note here and there that references God's loving kindness. So let's observe this mission unfolding before us. We see it here. It's the mission. Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, he makes him swear to go carry out this mission. So this text begins with the fact that Abraham has seen many years and events pass before him. We refer to this sometimes as old age. A better way to say it is seasoned saints, right? And I want you to know, seasoned saints, that God is working powerfully through an old man here. So until God calls you home, he's not done with your ministry. I find that to be wonderfully refreshing, the older I get. Side note, God just does amazing things. And he's going to do that. Here, Abraham is an old man. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. God had promised Abraham this truth. He says, Abraham, you're going to age. You're going to become an old man. So Abraham is an old man here by the grace of God, and he's about to see God do a powerful thing. So God had said to him, you know what? You're bulletproof till I call you home. You're going to be an old man. With this reality, there's one thing that Abraham wants to see happen before he steps into eternity. And that one thing is that God would fulfill his promise. He wants to see that God provides for Isaac a wife. And his desire, Abraham's desire here, is in perfect harmony with what God is going to do. And so he has that behind him. He's believing, he's trusting. He knows that God eventually is going to provide a Messiah, a Redeemer, who will reconcile the world to himself. Beautiful story here, as well as how God works in the lives of individuals to bring about his perfect will. He's at work in us in the same way. God desires to work through you the story that he wants to write in your life. You see the purpose here. Abraham begins in, I read verse 1, part of verse 2. And the purpose is that he will go, and this servant here is Eliezer, that he will go and find a wife for his son Isaac. Verse 3, I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. Okay, it's not going to happen here, Eliezer. This is his servant, Eliezer, the oldest. He's been with him for a long time. He trusts him. He says, you're not going to take one from here, but you'll go to my country, verse 4, to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. Beautiful story here. It's amazing. The servant said to him, suppose, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, Abraham, but what about if I get there? And she says, I won't come. Abraham says, listen, a couple things. Verse 6, beware that you not take my son back to where I came from. Don't take him back there. And that was because God had given Abraham a land, a promised land. Don't take Isaac back there. That's where I came from. We're moving forward. Don't go back. And there's something to be said about that in our own lives. Keep moving forward with the Lord. Don't go back where it may seem safe and secure. And I'm okay there. I'm not being stretched. Boy, God's stretching Abraham here. He's stretching his servant as well. Verse 7, he says, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my birth, who spoke to me, who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I'll give this land. He will send his angel before you. You will take a wife for my son from there. So Abraham's speaking in great faith here. Here's the purpose. You're going to go, Eliezer, and the purpose is for you when you go to find my son a wife. When you get there, this is what's going to happen. The God who has watched over me, the God who has called me, he's going to provide. Remember Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Abraham's still running on the promises of God. We must do the same. That's a walk of faith. We're trusting. So there's the purpose. You go. And so it's a 450-mile trip one way. Incredible trip. And so he just calls him. Eliezer, this is what I want from you. I've given you my word. This is what's going to happen, and you need to go. In verse 8, if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be free from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master. He swore to him concerning the matter. So there's the mission. You go. You find my son a wife. You go back to my family members. You go back there. As Abraham is saying this, verse 7 just jumps out because of what he's stating here. Remember, he's running on the promises of God. It's a walk of faith for him and for you and I as well. But verse 7, it's just this doxology of thanksgiving and praise to God of what he's done. Look again with me at verse 7. The Lord, the God of heaven, Yahweh, him, it's he. He's the one who took me from my father's house. Abraham's looking back. He's 75 years old. God calls him. He just said, come. Come. You come. You follow me. I'll show you land. I'm not going to give you all the instruction. You just come. He came from a pagan background. And God called him from that to a great purpose. So Abraham testifies in these few words to what God has done for him. He took me from my father's house, from the land of my birth. Who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants, I'll give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. What great confidence he has in God. And you know what he's doing? He's linking what God has done in the past to the promise and to the future. God's made this promise. This is how he's worked in my life in the past. I have this history of faithfulness with God. And I believe this is what he's going to do. It may sound like a crazy plan, Eliezer. I know I'm sending you a long ways. And you are going to go. You're going to find that God is going to provide. And I believe that. Why? Because of what he's done in the past. So there's that link. Past to the future. This is why we are told, and Abraham gives thanks here, this is why we're told time and time again in the Scripture to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. On and on and on, God calls us to do that. It moves our heart into His presence with the right attitude, thinking about what He has done. We give Him thanks. And so we look back and we see His provision, His safety, His handiwork in our lives. And that's what Abraham's doing. And before Abraham is thinking about sending this servant, he is in his mind rehearsing the power of God and how He's dealt with him. This, by the way, is what we need to be doing with this generation and the next generation. Telling of the great things that God has done for us. If you're in Christ today, you have a unique, one-of-a-kind story of the God of heaven's intervention into your life to gloriously save you. We serve a master like none other. He's alive forevermore. We can tell these things. He's risen, right? You guys knew I was going to come there, but it's true. It's a risen Savior we serve. You know, you have opportunity. It's one thing to share the Word of God, and we must. It's one thing to teach the Word of God, and we must. We're called to do that to this generation, the next generation, the generation to come. But two, it's a little empty if we never speak to what God has done in our lives. All of us have a story. If you're in Christ, you have a story. Your children need to hear that story. Your grandchildren need to hear of the great things the Lord has done in your life. Your friends, your coworkers, speak to that and let it push you and drive you to grow in your faith in Christ. That's what Abraham's doing. He's saying, Eliezer, I want to tell you something. I know you know this, but let me just rehearse this. You remember way back then? You were my servant back then. God called, and you guys all thought, what are you doing? We followed him. We saw his hand of blessing time and time and time again. We started out with a few sheep. God has abundantly blessed us. My wife, Sarah, remember, she couldn't conceive, couldn't have a child. After all, after the time for that was gone, when she was, Eliezer, remember, 90? 90. Remember what happened? Yeah, Isaac came along. Do you suppose the God of heaven will not provide for him and you as you go and look for a wife for him? Absolutely. So he's rehearsed. Keep telling the story of God's intervention, God's work, God's grace in your life. Don't set that aside. You may say, well, I'm kind of like this Abraham here. I'm an old man, old woman, advanced in years. Let me tell you something. As a young man, my grandparents, I learned a lot from them. I got to see what God had done in their lives, and it spoke to me, and it speaks. Keep telling the story. So there's a power there. You know, be consistent. And by the way, you guys, are you anybody thinking about lunch yet? Okay, we got a couple that are honest, yeah. Will you sit down to eat today? What a great assignment. Speak to what God has done in your life. Put this right in practice today. And then keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Oh, it ministers to hearts. We get enough junk through the week. We get enough empty, ugly stuff through the week. Oh, this is beautiful. To be able to say, this is where I was at when the God of heaven met me. Help me to see my great need. I want to tell you about that. I need to tell you how God has supplied through the years for our family and so forth. Speak to it, my brothers. Speak to it, my sisters. Give it to the Lord. There's the particulars there as well. And Abraham says to him, look, if you go, you find this woman, she says she won't come, you're free. You're free from this oath. So there's the particulars. And he just laid it out very straightforward with Eliezer. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go. You're going to find that God is going to provide. In verses 10 through 27, you really see the servant here, Eliezer. And this text is so beautiful. It's just so honest. It just bears the heart. It's sort of unrehearsed in Eliezer's life as to how God ministers to him there. So it says here, they completed that trip. Verse 10, the servant took the 10 camels from the camels of his master, set out. I'm sorry, I'm ahead of myself. He's not there yet. He'll get there in a minute. Verse 11, he gets there. Verse 10, he went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. He's at the place. And look what happens. What an incredible intervention of God. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the water, the well of water at evening time, the time when the women go to draw the water. By the way, Eliezer isn't alone. There are other servants with him. We'll see that as the text unfolds. But he's the main character here. And while he's there, he prays in verse 12. Beautiful prayer. So honest. So to the point. He said, O Lord, the God of my master, Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham, "Behold, I'm standing by the spring. The daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water." Now, and he gets so precise here in his prayer. "May it be that the girl to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and who answers me, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also,' may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master." Very, very clear, right? "All right, Lord, here I am." I love that, by the way. He tells God where he's standing. Do you get that? "I'm by the spring." Maybe some of you don't see the hilarity in that. God knows where you're standing, Eliezer. He sees you. I remember one time, and this is funny as I look back on it. Part of it is, anyway. I had a tree. I won't get into all the details. I had a tree come down. I was in the woods. And it was in a position that it began to chase me a bit. It was falling and sliding sideways. It hit me right in the hips. It was a big tree, probably 16, 18-inch basswood. And from there, the tree's going down, and I'm going down with it right here. I'm alone in the woods in the winter. And it's pinning me to the ground. Boom, there it goes. It actually flips over me. But as I'm going down, I told the Lord, "Here I come." As if the Lord doesn't know what's going on. It's the moment. And I think this is what it is in the moment. "Lord, here I am." He knows where you're at. But, you know, it's just a heart, unrehearsed, just so sincere. "God, you see me. Here I am. I need you to move." And here it is. I'm asking for a girl to come out and give me a drink. And if she offers to water my camels also, would you allow that to be the one? Very, very specific. Be that way with God. Just be that way with the Lord. There's that prayer. And God calls us to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men should always pray and never give up. It's not that we walk every moment and every moment we're praying to God. But it's a heart thing, see? Our hearts need to be thinking about what our connection to God and our need and what we would like Him to do. Philippians 4, very familiar verses as well. Don't be anxious. I'm just kind of throw it together, but in everything you pray. You do so, supplication, very specific, with thanksgiving. Let's not forget that. Here it is, Lord, and I just want to thank you that you've heard what you've done in my life. Make your requests be made known to God. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. Pray. And that's what Eliezer does here. You'll see the provision here. Before he had finished speaking. I just want to underline that. That's our God. He knows. He hears. He moves. Before he gets done, guess what happens? "Behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor." There's that connection. You go back to my people. She is one of his people, one of Abraham's people. She came out with her jar on her shoulder. And it speaks to what kind of, it speaks to her morality here. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And notice the next words. She quickly lowered her jar to her hand, gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I'll draw also for your camels," until they had finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar in the trough, ran back to the well to draw. She drew for all the camels. That's a lot of water. Those camels can drink. This is an amazing thing, isn't it? Eliezer's standing here. Meanwhile, it says, verse 21, the man was gazing at her in silence. I think he's just stunned. He's not quite finished his prayer. Boom. Oh, here she is. And can I give you a drink? Yeah. Wouldn't mind watering those camels too. What had he just prayed? The exact thing, right? By the way, her name is Rebecca. You young men, if you find a godly woman named Rebecca, marry her. You'll do well. All right, that's tongue-in-cheek, you know that, right? He's gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. And I want to say right here, Eliezer, he has made it successful. This is exactly what you asked for. But he doesn't know part of the story. He doesn't know where she's from. Now, the writer tells us that. Verse 22, when the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel, two bracelets for a wrist, weighing 10 shekels in gold, said, "Whose daughter are you?" He has to ask the question. "Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house?" She said to him, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." Again, she said to him, "We have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in." Then look what happens. Eliezer gets it. He is stunned. He was stunned into silence. He begins to speak. He has seen the God of heaven move before his very eyes. You know what he does? Beautiful. He gets low. He bows down and he worships. He's saying, in this moment, God, you are so, so incredible. I want to give you honor at this moment in time. And so he does. It's miraculous. It's precisely what he had hoped for and asked for. God answers his prayer in such a way there's no room for misunderstanding for him. And we see this. It's just absolutely awesome. It's the kind of stuff God does when we ask him to move. Now listen, I'm not going to say to you that God answers every prayer the way we want them answered. He doesn't, but he answers every prayer. And when we pray, we are saying to God, we need help. This is bigger than us. I am connected to you. I see my need, and I'm asking. And by the way, he invites us to ask. He loves to hear from his children. Just as a father with a child loves to hear from his children, so does God with us. Jesus spoke about our need to pray. He said in Matthew 6, 7, and 8, when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. That's not how Eliezer prayed. He prayed from the heart. Here it is, God. I need you to move. I need to see your hand of blessing here, and I need an answer. It says here, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And some will say, well, why pray? Because God calls us to pray. That's why we pray. And we pray because we're called to pray. We're praying because we need him to move. And we need to see ourselves in a position where he's greater and we need his help. So we pray. That's what we do. That's what Eliezer did. And he sees this provision. And it takes him to his knees. He worships. We ought never to take God's answers casually. This is miraculous. God is doing it. From there, he goes to this praise as well. When the camels have finished drinking, verse 22, the man, he does these things. He gets on his knees in verse 27. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness." There it is again. His mercy. And his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. Incredible. This is before GPS. He didn't have a road map. God led him there. And he sees it. He gives those gifts. There's a gold ring, bracelet, so forth. He lavishes it on her. He inquires of her family, finds out that she is indeed in line with the person he needs to have come back as Isaac's wife. Rebecca tells him she's a relative to Abraham, and he gets low and worships God. Why? Because he now knows God has answered this prayer specifically, and he's going to provide. We see his loving kindness of God here. He's lovingly kind to his people. He's the one. He's the God who keeps his promises. He's keeping his covenant to Abraham. There will be a seed. There are going to be nations. Paul, the Apostle Paul, ran on the promises of God. We, as God's people, do the same. I want to run you just past an event here for just a couple moments. The Apostle Paul's life. He was on a ship. They were in a massive storm. In the middle of that, there's a promise to Apostle Paul that occurred earlier. In the middle of that, he's ministering to others. The Lord Jesus has said, you're going to get to Rome. If Paul perishes in a ship at sea, he doesn't get to Rome. He's running on the promises of God, and it affects how he lives life. They're in the middle of this storm. He's talking to those around him. I urge you to keep up your courage. There will be no loss of life among you, but only to the ship. He said this, "For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, Rome, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.' The Lord spoke to him and said, 'Paul, I'm going to get you through.'" He, with that courage, that knowledge, just begins to minister to others and encourages them. Verse 44, Acts 27, "The rest should follow, some on planks." This is where it was shipwrecked. "The others in various things of the ship. So it happened that they were all brought safely to land." A little synopsis of how life ought to be lived on the promises of God. You and I have promises. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We're His forever. We can count on Him. A couple things I want to just reinforce here before we finish. Brothers, sisters, you are part of a congregation that needs your prayers. Men should always pray and never give up. Pray for yourself. Pray for your circumstances. Pray for your brothers and sisters here. Those you're next to in your pews, they stand in need of your prayers. Remember that old gospel song, "Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord," standing in the need of prayer. Pray. The God of heaven responds to prayers. Secondly, I want to say this. Count your blessings. Count them, recount them, rehearse them. Say it again and again and again. We can't speak to the work of God too much. Others around you need to hear that. Grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, brother, sister, speak to what God has done in your life. You are unique. Every one of you. And God has a unique story that He's worked and is working through you. And finally, trust the Lord in all things. Trust Him, trust Him, trust Him. Because of how Abraham had been dealt with in the past, when he's thinking about this incredible journey he's going to send Eliezer on, sort of in the middle of nowhere, to do an incredible thing, he's looking back and he's saying, "God's been faithful, 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 faithful. I will count, and I can count my future into His hands. I can give it to Him." I'll finish with this thought. Here it is. Here's your takeaway, your final one, okay? God is lovingly kind and always keeps His word. Therefore, be confident that He will lead and provide for our needs as we seek Him. He's lovingly kind. He's just gracious, merciful. That's our God. He sees to it that His people are cared for. That's you and I. He will do it. Give it to Him. Loving Father, thank You for this incredible event in Abraham's life. And we certainly see You're keeping Your word. You provided him a son, Isaac, the son of promise, in a miraculous way. You're about to provide, and we'll see that, a wife for his son of promise in another miraculous way from which You will provide, You will develop a great nation, and through Messiah will come. Thank You for that. Father, our confidence grows when we read these things. I pray for Your people that they would boldly proclaim Your work in their lives and how You've just ministered, You've saved, You've blessed. Father, too, we're reminded, maybe there's someone today here that have yet to trust Christ as Savior. They've not yet understood their full need, their great sin, how that separates them. But through faith in Christ, they can be redeemed. They can be saved. They can be released from the penalty of sin. Help them get that. Help us, Father, to speak even this day of Your work. We pray Your blessing now. Grant Your people much grace. Thank You for Your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.